From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, May 18th. Coming up, more hospitals are moving away from factoring a patient's race into measurements used to inform patient care. We'll learn more from SideFX Public Media's Farah Yousri in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. More than half the children who prompted contempt orders against the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services director are still waiting for proper placement. Alex Stegman reports.
Mark Smith has been held in contempt 10 times since January. He faced fines of $1,000 per day unless the children, many of whom were stuck in hospitals or group shelters, were placed in settings that met their individual needs. Four of them have been, but the futures of six are still unclear. State Representative Stephen Reich says Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration needs to accept responsibility.
You spend 3 years blaming your predecessor. That means you don't have any answers yourself. And I think it's a damn shame that this is how bad it has gotten, and this is what we're stuck with.
Pritzker has long defended Smith, saying replacing the agency head won't fix decades-long systemic issues. I'm Alex Dagman.
The Urbana Board of Education wants to explore converting its two Spanish dual-language programs into one fully dual-language school, like International Prep Academy in Champaign. The District 116 board has asked staff to develop plans for this idea, even though it's currently unpopular with parents. The board has not made a final decision. Paul Pulaski is the board president. He says he trusts those recommending the change.
I guess one of the benefits of being here for 11 years is I've had a lot of meetings with the two of you. You came to us when it was a transitional bilingual program, and you told us about the benefits of going dual language. We took a chance on that. And it did well. It did so well, in fact, that we had to expand it to a second building.
Dual language teachers broadly support the one school model in surveys. Administrators say one school would be more welcoming for native Spanish speakers, and it would lighten teachers' loads. Both the Democratic and Republican candidates in the 13th Congressional District will take part in debates in the coming weeks. Illinois Public Media, WAND News, and the League of Women Voters of Champaign County are sponsoring the debates. Democratic candidates Nikki Budzinski and David Palmer will debate Thursday, May 26th at 7 p.m. The four Republican candidates, Regan Deering, Matt Houseman, Terry Martin, and Jesse Rising, will debate Thursday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. Illinois Public Media will host both debates in our Urbana studios. On television, they'll air live on WILL and WSIU in Carbondale. WAND in Decatur will carry them at a later date. On radio, the debates will air on WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9, WSIU in Carbondale, and NPR Illinois in Springfield. They'll also stream live on the station websites. You can submit questions for the candidates at illinoisnewsroom.org. Still to come, we'll learn why some hospitals are moving away from factoring a patient's race into measurements used to inform patient care. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
The masterpiece drama Atlantic Crossing mixes international politics and personal ambition in a story inspired by a real-life friendship forged in wartime. In this series, Norway's Crown Princess Martha flees the Nazis and comes to the U.S., where Franklin Roosevelt takes her under his wing. She quickly becomes a powerful advocate for her country. Kyle MacLachlan stars as Roosevelt, opposite Swedish star Sofia Helin as Martha. You can watch every episode today as a friend of WILL. Learn how at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. For decades, doctors have factored in a patient's race when it comes to the way they diagnose and treat kidney disease. Now, some hospitals have decided to stop using this approach. SideFX Public Media's Farah Yousri explains.
I pulled into a mall parking lot on a recent Saturday and immediately noticed the black Nissan parked next to me. The car had signs plastered on all its windows that say
kidney donor needed and has registered to be a living kidney donor by scanning the QR code.
This is Crystal Moore. She wears a black hoodie emblazoned with a similar life or death plea. Moore is 59 and lives in Indianapolis. She has stage 5 kidney disease. Her kidneys are unable to filter her blood of waste and excess fluid. On her worst days, her feet and hands swell, and she's extremely fatigued. Stage 5 patients typically have 5 to 10 years to live. Right now, her best bet to extend her life expectancy is to find a kidney donor.
So I'm just asking or begging people to, if you're interested, to please help me. I need a living donor. I just want to live longer so I can spend more time with my grandbabies and with my boys, my kids.
About 37 million people in the U.S. have chronic kidney disease. Data shows black patients like Moore are more likely to have kidney failure than white patients. They also make it onto the transplant lists later, and once there, wait longer to get a kidney. Indiana University nephrologist Sharon Moe says there are many reasons for these disparities.
Part of that is due to some genetic risk factors, but also lack of access to healthcare, medication costs, insurance.
But also the digital calculators doctors use to make treatment decisions. Moe is among many kidney experts who worry they may cause delays in care for some black patients. The calculations measure kidney function by determining how well the small filtering units called glomeruli are working.
Each kidney has a million of them, and it's basically like a vegetable colander, so it's got little holes in it.
A so-called GFR score tells doctors if there is damage in those holes. The lower the score, the worse the damage. Now, here's where it gets a bit complicated. The gold standard to measure kidney function involves infusions that are pretty invasive. So researchers in the 90s developed another method. They looked to see how fast a patient's kidney is able to flush out a chemical everyone has in their blood already, one that's made by muscles called creatinine. Levels of this chemical vary depending on your age, weight, and sex. They came up with mathematical equations, an algorithm that takes those variables into account and spits out a number for a patient's GFR that is pretty accurate compared to the more invasive tests. But for the small fraction of black patients in their study, researchers noticed that creatinine levels at baseline were higher compared to white patients. That threw off their GFR scores. So they introduced a multiplication factor to black patients' scores, which gave more accurate results. But there's a caveat. Here's nephrologist Sharon Moe again.
We don't even really know from the studies done 25 and 30 years ago how race was actually captured. Was it self-reported? You know, was it somebody looking at somebody and deciding?
Still, the assumption was made that anyone who looks black has more muscle mass and therefore higher levels of creatinine. And so from the get-go, doctors used algorithms that inflate black patients' scores. That has consequences. A higher GFR could give doctors the impression that a black patient's kidney is healthier than it actually is. Then, Mo says, they might not get listed for a kidney transplant when they need to be.
You might spend more time on dialysis before you get a kidney transplant. Our goal is always to get a kidney transplant before ever needing dialysis.
Black patients may also miss out on early interventions. Crystal Moore and others like her may never know the extent to which their race has influenced their treatment. But studies suggest if race is removed from kidney disease calculations, more than 700,000 black patients in the U.S. could have better outcomes and quality of life. It's why some hospitals have decided to stop using the race-adjusted calculations. That includes Indiana University Health, where Mo works. Kidney disease is just one area of medicine where doctors use race-based adjustments. Cardiology, obstetrics, urology are among others, says Dr. David Jones. He's a professor at Harvard Medical School who studies the unintended harms of this approach. Jones says medicine should not be colorblind, but doctors need to recognize that many health disparities are not caused by race, but racism.
Is there ever a case to be made for dividing the world's people into black versus white and then treating them differently depending on which of those two buckets you've been put into? That's what U.S. medicine does most of the time. Most of these race-based tools rely on a black-white dichotomous variable.
Back in Indiana, Moore usually wraps up her work as a home health aide around noon and drives home from the town of Carmel to her home in Indy's Martindale-Brightwood neighborhood. It's 17 miles. That coincides with a 17-year gap in life expectancy, 1 year for each mile from the wealthy, predominantly white suburb to the majority black and brown neighborhood where Moore lives. Between her demanding job and caring for her elderly mother with dementia, she tries to take care of herself, and that includes her nighttime routine.
I hooked up my PD catheter to my machine for my peritoneal dialysis.
That machine does what her kidney can't. It filters her blood every day.
I will be on it for 12 to 13 hours.
Her prayer as she drifts off to sleep each night that she might stumble upon a kidney donor soon. Farah Yusri, Side Effects Public Media.
Side Effects Public Media is a regional reporting collaboration focused on public health. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly cloudy skies today with showers and thunderstorms likely and a high of 75 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Emily Hayes, Reginald Hardwick, and Farah Yousri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.